we read from two passages of Holy Scripture. First passage is 2 Samuel chapter 6, which supplies the historical background for the psalm that will be our text. That psalm will be Psalm 24. First, let us read 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 19. This is the word of the Lord. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baalah of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him, because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Let us now turn to Psalm 24. We read the whole psalm, and the whole psalm will be our text this evening. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a striking fact how frequently the Old Testament scriptures foreshadow and prophesy about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The great event that concluded our Lord's ministry here on the earth after his resurrection when he was taken up into heavenly glory and thereafter was seated at God's right hand. The ascension of the Lord Jesus was the triumphal entry of the victorious mediator into heavenly glory. And this event is prophesied numerous times in the Old Testament. In fact, we find it a great number of times in the book of the Psalms particularly. In fact, if you look through all of the Psalms speak about and prophesy our Lord's ascension more often than they speak about or prophesy his birth, his death, or his resurrection. There are several Psalms that focus very directly on Jesus' ascension. We sang some of them. Psalm 46, Psalm 68, Psalm 110, and also Psalm 24, which is our text tonight. This Ascension Day, what we want to do is focus on the glorious event of our Lord's ascension from the perspective of Old Testament history that pictures this glorious event, and from the perspective of an Old Testament psalm that prophesies this event. Psalm 24 is a messianic psalm. It is a psalm that is rich in pictures, in images, in prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. This psalm reveals Jesus Christ as the only one who can ascend into the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. It reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as the mighty warrior king who fights for his people and obtains the victory for his people. And this psalm reveals Jesus Christ as the King of glory who ascends into God's presence for his people, so that he might draw them after himself into the very presence of God. A beautiful ascension psalm. And so rather than focusing on one particular rich verse of the psalm, though that could easily be done, for this ascension day we're going to focus on the broad contours of the entire psalm and see what this psalm has to teach us about Jesus as our ascended King of glory. Let's consider the psalm under the theme, the King of Glory Ascending on High. Notice in the first place, the prophecy. Secondly, the fulfillment. And thirdly, the blessing. Psalm 24 is a prophetic psalm that foreshadows the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And the prophecy of this psalm is a prophecy that is rooted in Old Testament historical events. You read through Psalm 24 and you read about a King of glory coming in. You read about someone ascending a holy hill. You read about gates lifting up their heads. All of these things refer to historical events, which events foreshadow the ascension of Jesus Christ. Psalm 24 is a psalm of David. And the historical events that most likely stand behind this psalm are the events that we read in 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 19. The historical event of David bringing the ark up into Jerusalem. By the time of the events in 2 Samuel 6, David's kingship has been established in Israel over all 12 tribes. Conflict with the house of Saul has ceased. David has conquered the fortress city of the Jebusites, Jerusalem, and made it his capital city. It is now called the City of David. And now that David's reign is universally established in Israel, one of his first concerns is the Ark of God, which for a long time now had been neglected under the reign of Saul. In fact, the Ark wasn't even in a tabernacle. It was sitting in the house of a pious man named Abinadab. And so David gathers together a great company of his chosen men, and they go to the house of Abinadab to fetch the Ark. They set the ark upon a new ox cart, and with a festive procession, they head off to Jerusalem with Abinadab's two sons, Uzzah and Ahio, beside the ark. However, some carelessness in following God's instructions for the transportation of the ark results in the death of Uzzah when he thrusts forth his hand to steady the ark and touches the sacred ark, which was strictly forbidden by God. God struck down Uzzah for that error. That brought a halt to the procession of the ark before it even reached Jerusalem, and for 3 months the ark was deposited in the house of a man named Obed-Edom. The Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom as long as the ark resided in his house. And when it was told to David that the house of Obed-Edom was blessed for the sake of the ark, David sent and fetched the ark from the house of Obed-Edom, and the procession began anew 3 months later. With great gladness, David and the house of Israel bring the ark to Jerusalem. And the ascension then of the ark into the fortress city of Jerusalem in the mountains, this ascension of the ark was one of the greatest celebrations the Old Testament church ever saw. And Psalm 24, which was likely composed by David reflecting upon this event, Psalm 24 captures much of the joy and the excitement of this great event. You can imagine it. The streets of Jerusalem lined with God's people. Excitement is in the air as the procession nears the gates of Jerusalem. You can hear the cry being lifted up. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And the procession enters into Jerusalem. At the head of the ark is King David himself. Behind King David are minstrels and singers playing music and singing praises to God. And behind the ark, the people of God follow as the ark journeys up Jerusalem streets toward the holy hill of Mount Zion, where David's son Solomon would eventually build the temple. Verse 13 of 2 Samuel 6 tells us that as the people journeyed up the hill following the ark, every six paces they went, there were sacrifices that were offered. A great number of sacrifices as the ark ascended Zion's hill. Till at last the ark reached the top. Perhaps the shout was heard again. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. The gates of the tabernacle that David had pitched on Zion's hill were opened, and the procession entered into the tabernacle courtyard. We're told the ark was put in its place in that tabernacle David had pitched. And there more sacrifices were offered, and the king blessed the people and gave them gifts. Great joy, worship on Mount Zion. But now what we want to see is that these historical events reflected in Psalm 24 prophesy and foreshadow an even greater and more glorious ascension than the ascension of the ark. The ascension of the ark was a glorious event for the Old Testament church. The ark was the symbol of God's presence with his people. The coming of the ark to Jerusalem was a picture of God setting his name here. This was the place he chose for his abode. And the placement of the ark in the tabernacle on the top of the hill of Zion pictured God dwelling with his people as their God. And yet, the greatness of this historical event lies in what it foreshadows. The ascension of the ark into Jerusalem did not perfect the salvation of God's people. It did not accomplish perfect fellowship between Jehovah and his church. It did not bring reconciliation with God, atonement for sins. Indeed, the ascension of the ark into Jerusalem was only a type, and it was an imperfect type. It was imperfect because it revealed that access to God was not yet open. Full fellowship with God was not yet open. The ascension of the ark, where did the ark end up? It ended up in its place, in most holy place, in the tabernacle. Hidden behind the veil which testified, the sinner may not enter. The ark was set in the most holy place. And so though the ark was a symbol of God's fellowship with his people, and it was a powerful symbol, it was not an empty picture, yet also the ark testified something better has to come. Because this ark cannot perfect salvation. This ark cannot bring full fellowship with God. But secondly, the ascension of the ark was an imperfect type because it could not bring God's people up into God's holy hill. It could not bring God's people into the most holy place. Rather, the ark testified to all, you cannot ascend unto God, but you need someone who will ascend for you. The promised Messiah. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Verse 3 of Psalm 24 asks. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? That is, who may? Who is qualified? Who will be accepted of God? And verse 4 of the psalm is the answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The man who has a perfectly righteous life, who has only extended his hands to do good. The man who has a pure heart, who is fully consecrated to God. The man who has never lifted up his soul to vanity, that is, has never trusted or worshipped any idol. The man who has not sworn deceitfully, that is, the man who is faithful to his word always. To put it simply, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The perfectly holy one. And not one of the Israelites, not King David himself, and not one of us, is that perfectly holy one. Our sin means that we cannot ascend into the hill of the Lord. And though this ascension of the ark was a glorious event in the life of the Old Testament church, notice how powerfully this was pictured. You cannot ascend. As the ark ascended up into the hill, what was taking place? Every six paces. Sacrifice. They sacrificed their whole way up Zion's hill. And all of that spilled animal blood was a testimony to King David and to all of the people. You're unholy. You are sinful. You cannot ascend except for the blood of atonement. But those same sacrifices which pictured the blood of atonement necessary to cover their sins, those same sacrifices repeated over and over and over again also testified to them. This animal blood doesn't take away your sin. You need a better sacrifice. You need a holy high priest who will perform the one great sacrifice to cover your sins. And so as the people went up following the ark, all of the sacrifices were testifying to them, you cannot ascend of yourself. And then the ark put behind the veil testified, without atonement, none can enter the presence of the Holy God. And so you see this glorious ascension of the ark points the people and points us to one who will come, one who will go up into God's holy hill, one who will stand in God's presence, and one who will be able to bring us after him into the very presence of God. This psalm is a glorious prophecy of the Messiah, who is the fulfillment. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He is the fulfillment of everything the history pictures, and he is the fulfillment of everything that the psalm prophesies. Jesus Christ, Jesus, who is the King of glory who ascends God's holy hill, the King of glory who is holy and who makes his people holy. So now, here in the second point, we want to see how the psalm sets before us Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the prophecy, as the fulfillment of the ascension of the ark into the temple in Jerusalem. We want to see especially two things that this psalm reveals to us about Jesus Christ, who he is as our King of glory. In the first place, Psalm 24 reveals that Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, is our holy priest king, who ascends, who stands, and who abides in God's holy presence for us. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Only the one who is perfectly holy. And there is only one who is perfectly holy, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the scriptures testify to that reality, the absolute and perfect holiness of our Lord and Savior, who was the fulfillment of all of Israel's hopes, who is the Messiah, the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? He is God the Son. He is the Lord, the King of kings, who in the fullness of time, according to the counsel of God Almighty, clothed himself with our human flesh and became man, and became our holy high priest. Book of Hebrews has much to say about the Lord Jesus as our high priest. Take, for example, Hebrews 7, verse 26. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Connecting Jesus' work as our priest to his ascension into heaven. Jesus is the one described here in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Jesus is the only man whose hands were perfectly clean, whose hands were only ever extended to work righteousness. Jesus is the only one whose heart is perfectly pure, devoted, consecrated to God, separated from all sin and defilement. Jesus alone is the one who never lifted up his soul to any vanity, but only ever lifted his soul to his heavenly Father, who never swore deceitfully, but was faithful in all that he did, faithful to all of his words, faithful to his heavenly Father, and faithful to the people he came to save. He is the Holy One, and therefore the only one who is qualified to ascend into the hill of the Lord and to stand in his holy place. And that's what the Lord Jesus came to do as our Messiah, as our Savior. He came to be our holy priest king so that he could bring us up into God's hill and cause us to stand in God's holy place and open up to us a way of access into the most holy place. See, Jesus is the fulfillment of all that is pictured in the ark. The ark, which pictured God's presence with his people. That's Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. The ark with its mercy seat. The lid on the ark where the blood of sacrifice was poured, picturing the atonement for sin. Jesus Christ himself is both the high priest and the unblemished sacrifice whose blood takes away the sins of his people. Indeed, Jesus Christ came to ascend Calvary's hill, and there on the mercy seat of the cross, he, the high priest, offered himself the perfect sacrifice to blot out the sins of his people, to make atonement for their sins, to cover their sins, to reconcile them to God. And on that cross, Christ accomplished everything that all of those Old Testament sacrifices pictured. He offered the one perfect sacrifice, infinite in value, that takes away the sin of God's people. By that sacrifice, he earned for all who are his forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and a place in God's presence and fellowship. This is Christ, our holy priest king. And having ascended Calvary's hill, having accomplished that great atoning sacrifice, Jesus, our holy priest king, ascended into heaven. He ascended into the true hill of the Lord. He ascended into the real holy place, the very sanctuary of God in heaven. That ascension of the ark into Jerusalem was just a faint picture of the risen Christ ascending into the very courts of God, so that through him, God may dwell with us and we may dwell with God. He ascended for us and he stands in the holy place for us. That's where he is now, our holy priest king. He stands in the holy place for us, pouring out his blessings upon us. Just as David, when that ark reached the summit, the hill of Zion, after the sacrifices were offered, he distributed those gifts to his people. A faint picture of the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, our victorious priest king, who distributes all of the blessings of his work to his people. He stands in the holy place to draw us after him. Having ascended, he now causes us to ascend. He draws us by his word and spirit. He works in us by his spirit, transforming us, applying to us all of the blessings of salvation. The good work begun in us, he perfects. He draws us, he brings us, he lifts us up after him. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Jesus, our holy priest king. And through him, we shall ascend and stand there too. That's one aspect of our Savior's work revealed in this psalm. He is the Holy One who ascends and draws us after him. But now secondly, Psalm 24 also reveals Jesus Christ as our mighty, victorious warrior king who perfectly accomplished our salvation. That's especially what the second half of the psalm is speaking about. Second half of the psalm, which speaks about gates lifting up their heads, swinging open so that the King of Glory may come in. Second half of the psalm paints a beautiful picture for us. You can imagine a king returning home after a successful campaign against his enemies. And he returns home to the great joy and celebration of his people. And as he and his returning victorious army approach the city gates, the trumpets sound and the gates swing open and the king enters into his city. That's the imagery here. That's what happened the day that the ark returned, or rather when the ark came to Jerusalem. David was very much a victorious king, God's victorious king, the king that God had given victory over all of the enemies of Israel. Now the king comes to his city. But David himself, he isn't the great king. He was the great warrior king of Israel who defeated the Philistines and others, but he could not defeat the greatest enemies of God's people, Satan, sin, death. David is not the great king. The great king is pictured by the ark. The ark pictures the King of Glory, Jesus Christ, who is the great king, returning from victorious conquest, having vanquished his enemies, bringing his blessings to bestow upon his people. Who is this King of Glory? Verse 8 says, the Lord, that is Jehovah. Jehovah strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Jehovah God himself is the King of Glory. The creator, the owner of the whole world. To connect it back to the first two verses of the Psalm. The King of Glory who is strong and mighty. Jehovah's salvation. Jehovah in the flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Glory. Set before us here. Prophesied in this psalm. He is our great warrior king. A warrior king far greater than David. He is strong and mighty in battle, the text says. And what a battle he fought. His battle was back on that hill. Calvary's hill. On the cross. Where in the most unexpected way he vanquished the powers of darkness, led captivity captive, conquered sin, conquered Satan, accomplished the redemption of his people. He defeated the true enemies of his people. Enemies we could never defeat of ourselves. Enemies not even the mightiest king of God's people could ever defeat. He is the king. Strong, mighty in battle. The King to whom the everlasting doors open wide. You see the beautiful picture of the ascension here? The prophecy of the ascension? The victorious King, strong and mighty, having vanquished his enemies, he returns to his city and the doors swing open. That's the ascension. The triumphal entry of Christ into heaven. Conquering King. To the great joy and the celebration and the praise and the worship of all of the heavenly host. The everlasting doors open to the Lord Jesus Christ. The ascended King of Glory. Who is then seated at God's right hand. Who rules over all things. For the good of His church. He is not only our holy priest King. But He is also our mighty victorious warrior king who has accomplished our salvation. So that brings us now to see the blessings, the present blessings of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. The ascension of Jesus for us has brought so many rich spiritual blessings that we enjoy here and now. Verse 5 of Psalm 24 mentions some of the outstanding blessings. Verse 5, He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of His salvation. Jesus Christ is the Holy One, who, having accomplished the work that the Father gave Him to do, receives the blessing from God the Father, and receives righteousness. Blessing and righteousness that He then bestows upon all those whom He came to save. Blessing, God's favor, God's grace, through Christ is showered upon us, so that we are called saints, God's holy ones. Righteousness, true righteousness, First of all, Christ's own righteousness freely imputed to us so that we are clothed in His righteousness, so that in God's eyes we are perfect as if we never had sinned. That's how we ascend the holy hill of the Lord. We are clothed in the righteousness of the Holy One. But also the gift of righteousness worked in us by the sanctifying power of the Spirit. Blessing from God. Righteousness. Those are the blessings of the ascension. But also, this great King, our holy priest King, and our mighty warrior King, He is now in heaven. He's in God's presence. But in God's presence, He doesn't stop being our holy priest King. He doesn't stop being our mighty warrior King. He continues to carry out that work on our behalf. As our priest King, He stands in God's sanctuary as our advocate. He prays for us as our intercessor. He brings our prayers before the Father. He is the new and living way, so that wherever we are, at any time, we can come to God through Him in prayer. He has given us the Comforter who abides with us. He's continually at work as our holy priest King. And as our mighty warrior King. The ascended Christ is still strong and mighty in battle. We must never forget that. Even though we can't see Him with the eyes, because He is ascended, He is not walking this earth with us, He is still strong and mighty in battle. And He rules over all things for our good. He protects, He defends, He preserves His church and every member of the church. All of history and time and all of the events that go on in the world, it's all under His control. So we must never think that anything's out of control, that the troubles in this life are outside of His control. Our King is strong, mighty in battle. We must remember that the King who has accomplished redemption for us will surely work all things for the good of those whom He has redeemed. And because we then have such a strong and mighty warrior King who has ascended on high in heaven, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let us trust and rely upon our ascended King of glory, who's strong, mighty in battle, guards, defends, preserves each and every one of His people throughout our entire earthly life till He brings us to be with Him in glory. Finally, the blessings of our ascended King, the King of glory, shall glorify us. We shall be like Him. Remember, our King of glory came, suffered and died for us. He ascended into heaven in order to bring us after Him. We're going to be like Him. Transformed into His likeness. Made holy, perfect, sinless, undefiled. That's the end of our salvation. The salvation He secured through all of His work. He's going to bring us into that holy hill so that we abide in that holy place forever in the presence of God, in fullness of fellowship with Him, with joy forevermore. That's heavenly life. That's the eternal future of God's people. That's our hope. And the ascension directs the eyes of our faith to that hope. We are following Jesus, our head, up into God's holy hill. Go back to the Old Testament picture again. The ark going up to the tabernacle on Zion's hill, and all of the people following joyfully behind that ark. It's a picture of us. It's a picture of our whole earthly life. Our whole earthly life as redeemed children of God. It's a life of joyfully following our ascended Savior to glory. So let's praise him. What were all the people doing that day as they followed the ark up? Singing, praising, rejoicing in God. Let this Ascension Day be a day of praise. Let it stir us up in the days ahead to praise the King of Glory, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has ascended on high and who is coming soon to take his church to be with him forever. May we endure whatever hardships are ours to endure here below, knowing the victory that we have in our ascended King of Glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our blessed God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the beautiful word that Thou hast given us. The beautiful word in Psalm 24 sets before us our King of Glory, who He is and what He has done. As our holy priest, who has laid down His life to cover our sins, and to obtain for us access into Thy presence. Our mighty warrior King, who has defeated the power of Satan, the power of sin, who has delivered us, who is gathering us, and Thy whole church, into the fullness of salvation which He has obtained for us. May this word strengthen us and encourage us to live all of life looking heavenward, eager for the day that we shall enter the perfection which Thou hast proposed to us. Bless us in the remainder of this evening and in the rest of this week. Keep us in Thy care, guard our hearts from sin, and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen.